Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Now, did you see that article in the New York Times Sunday about the importance of a strong family narrative? The basic conclusion is that if you want a happier and more resilient family, you should create and retell the story of your family, both the positive stuff and how you had to bounce back from the difficult stuff. A strong family narrative creates strong families and resilient individuals, resilient kids who grow up to be resilient grown-ups. So right now, we want to hook to that conversation that's taking place online and hear from you about how you've approached telling the story of your family to your kids. Did you decide to tell your children about a difficult chapter in your family's past? How did you do it? Did you read this article and decide to tell your kids about the stories of their births or how you and your partner met? And if so, how did it go? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. The article is based on research by Emory University psychologists Marshall Duke and Robin Fevush. And back in 2001, they asked a group of kids the questions on the Do You Know scale, which is just a yes or no quiz on 20 basic questions, including, do you know where your grandparents grew up? Do you know where your mom and dad went to high school? Do you know where your parents met? Do you know an illness or something really terrible that happened in your family? Do you know the story of your own birth? And then 9/11 happened as they were starting to ask people these questions. And the researchers went back to those same kids and found that the single best predictor of how they bounce back from the experience of tragedy was their score on the Do You Know test. The ones who scored high were more resilient. So do your kids know that stuff? Do you know that stuff? How did your parents pass those stories to you? And how are you passing it on to your kids? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And as your calls come in, here's an example. This is a great example from the show a couple of weeks ago, the Subway Daddies. Remember them? They found a baby in the subway and ended up adopting him. The dads, Danny Stewart and Peter Mercurio, who wrote it up for the New York Times, and that article went viral, spoke to guest host Mike Pesca on the show a couple of weeks ago when I was off for a day. They told their son, Kevin, his origin story this way, and you'll hear Mike Pesca at the end.
We knew right away that we wanted Kevin to be aware of his story from the first moment he could be possibly cognizant of it. So we created on our own, just using clip art, a picture storybook, and we would read it to him at bedtime. It was basically we've brought the trains to life, and Danny's on the train, and the trains are talking to Danny in the story. And then he sees the baby, and he contacts me, and we go to court, and there's a judge, and the hospitals name him. And so we read the story to Kevin. He's 2.5, 3 years old. Every night, the picture book. He's about 4 years old, and a light bulb goes on in his head. And he says, "Is this about me?" Mm-hmm. And we're like, yeah. And he grinned from ear to ear so much that he – show and tell in kindergarten, he brings that little picture book that we created into school with him.
And shares it with the whole class.
And then we hear stories from other parents at the school. You don't know how much that helped our child because they're also adopted.
Yeah.
And for him to be so comfortable with his stories made my daughter so comfortable with
that. That's brilliant.
Theirs,
that's what you do. That's a brilliant use of storytelling. Imagine like reading the Eloise stories and you tell the girl, guess what? You're Eloise. I mean, this is like the magic come real to him.
Guest host Mike Pesca on the show a couple of weeks ago with Peter Mercurio and Danny Stewart, one of them found that baby on the subway and wound up adopting them. So how have you approached telling your kids a difficult story? Or how did your parents tell you? And what do you think the effect has been on your family resilience and on your kids' individual resilience? Share your stories. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, and we'll take your calls right after this. Me maybe someday Sin and I will hear the story of how he was welcomed to the world on the radio, among other places. And that'll help be part of the do you know test in their family. How about for yours? Do you tell these stories to your kids? Answer the questions. Do you know where your parents, grandparents grew up? Do you know where your mom and dad went to high school? Do you know where your parents met? Do you know an illness or something really terrible that happened in your family? Do you know the story of your own birth? Do you shrink from telling these stories because you're afraid of the effects of difficult stories or even making your kids feel too entitled or whatever? 212-433-9692. Thelma in Manhattan, you're on the air. Hello, Thelma. Thank you for calling.
Thank you for having me. So, yes, as I told your producer, I'm actually a refugee from Bosnia. I came to New York in 1995, and I survived the war. I was there under occupation for 3 years. I currently have a 4-year-old and a 5-year-old. And I tried to explain to them several times that mommy has been through some difficult times, and I sort of tried to tie it in into my dislike of violent movies, any violent games, and dislike of guns and anything to do with the violent culture. And for them, they understand that was a bad thing, but they're far too young to conceptualize war.
Mm-hmm.
They don't really understand how, what a grand scale of conflict that is and how frightening and terrible it is and how people die. But they are aware of it was a bad thing and that mommy went through some really bad things and that, but, that I came out of it and then that I'm here and that was in the past.
Right. And so that'll build the resilience and the hopefulness.
Hopefully, and less entitlement. My idea for the next step is actually to record it with the StoryCorps, and I thought that, and as I am sort of moving away from that event of war, it's been over 17 years now,
yes.
I am afraid that I'm starting to forget. So I think recording with the StoryCorps and having that as a permanent record of my recollection of my years in Bosnia.
It's a great idea. And I guess as your kids get older, you can tell them more sophisticated versions of the stories and draw more direct connections about how it might relate to their lives in the future.
That's exactly right.
Thelma, thank you so much. What a great way to start off this call. And Anne in Westchester. Hi, Anne. You're on WNYC.
Hi, Brian. I'm a huge fan.
Thank you.
What I want to tell you about my son's birth story, he was born a couple of days after 9/11 in Manhattan. And over the years, he's 11 now, and over the years, I've always thought about how to help him understand his birth story in connection with those events.
Mm-hmm.
And over the years, at different memorial points or when the memorial was built and we brought him, would try to explain to him the events, from the perspective of the age that he would be at. But just 2 nights ago, he actually found out or heard somehow, and he said, "Mommy, were there 2 planes? Were there 2 buildings?
Wow.
And I was so shocked because all this time I had thought, from my own perspective, understanding the events from the perspective of an adult, it was very different. And I sat down and I really told him the entire story of the labor and the delivery and going to Roosevelt Hospital with a police escort and trying to get in to have him in the hospital, which was a very scary time.
He'll certainly feel a connection, and I'm sure he'll think deeply about it as time goes on, and even having thought to ask that question about the 2 buildings, he'll probably remember that. Anne, thank you very much. Carolyn in Glen Head, you're on WNYC. Hi, Carolyn.
Hi, Brian. Love your show. First-time caller.
Thank you.
Very excited. My daughter was born before my husband and I were married, and my husband and I always grappled with, just how to explain that to them. I raised them in a pretty Catholic home. We go to church every Sunday. But my son sort of figured it out on his own. I'll be married 10 years on this Thursday, and my daughter just turned 11. So,
happy anniversary. Yeah, pretty basic math for an 11-year-old.
Yeah, and my son is 8, so he asked the story of how we met and sort of, how everything happened. And I just explained to him that life doesn't always go on the same path that that you expected to. You know, this isn't what we expected to happen, but, you know, we got married and now we have two other children. And so children really sort of are thinking about things in their own heads before you even know that.
Often, I'm sure that's the case. And so then I guess the next step at some point, if you haven't done it already, is to answer the question of what your feeling is about premarital sex.
Yeah, well, he's only 8.
Yeah, sure.
I'm trying. And, you know, my child, who is 11, has autism. So explaining it to her, she's nonverbal and very low cognitively. So it was never really had to kind of be explained to her because it's something she probably won't figure out. So it was more my other children, you know.
The time will come.
Yes.
Carolyn, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Felice in Roslyn. You're on WNYC. Hi, Felice.
Hi, Brian. I'm a huge fan.
Thank you.
So my daughter used the story of her birth to just for her college essay. And what she wrote was that we, her parents, had always called her our miracle child because she was born after her father's battle with testicular cancer. Mm. And she was not only unexpected, she was supposed to be impossible to conceive. So she wrote that after, you know, growing up with this knowledge imbued in her a sense that she was put on this earth for a reason. And it was her mission, she felt, to figure out that reason and fulfill her destiny. So now she's in college, she's probably going to go to law school, and she wants to work with children with disabilities. She spent a lot of time working with autistic children over the years, and she wants to be an advocate for children with disabilities.
That's great, and it sounds like part of that comes from how you communicated to her, so that's great. Jeff in Scarsdale, you're on WNYC. Hi, Jeff.
How you doing, Brian?
Good. What you got?
Well, first of all, I grew up in a candy store. My father had a candy store in the Bronx over 20 years. And I got to spend a lot of time with him, and this was in the 60s, and I worked there quite a bit, and I worked there the summer times when it was hot, and
And they don't call them candy stores anymore. They call them convenience stores now, right?
Yeah, exactly. In fact, my father was actually an early 7-Eleven, except it wasn't a 7-Eleven. We didn't have a fountain, you know, with... We used to call it a dry store. He sold bottled soda, packaged ice cream, and so on.
That was my first job, by the way. I worked in a candy store in Queens and made egg creams and ice cream sodas and that whole thing. I was terrible at it because the ice cream always was too hard for me to scoop out. I was a scrawny little kid. But anyway, go ahead.
This is not really where I wanted to go, but one of the stories I used to tell my kids, and my daughter's 30 and my son's 28, was in the summertime, people used to bring back the return bottles, for instance, and they were 2 cents for the bottles. And they'd bring them back, and there was no diet soda, so they would bring back these sticky Coca-Cola bottles for their 2 cents, and we'd have to bring them down to the basement. And, you know, in the middle of the summer, and sweat them out because Coke and Pepsi and all would take them back, but you'd have to sweat them out and put them in the right shells, and they were these wooden shells.
And so, how did it become a family story?
My father bought it, and frankly, I was a kid who liked to make money. You know, my father paid. It wasn't a thing where I had to work. He had other employees. I enjoyed working. I myself. Like being with my father because he talked to me, and that's how I actually learned a lot of family history. I spent many, many, many hours talking and learning and growing up there, and it was like cast of characters there like everywhere else in the Bronx and all over. There was a bookmaker in the morning. The guy would wait for the scratch sheets, and the Shylock who hung out there in the morning.
Right. So it was a street scene. So the moral of the story for your kids is that you worked hard jobs that people consider menial or whatever?
They were menial. When they would complain, like my daughter got a job at the Gap, you know, when she was in high school, and she was complaining about working in an air-conditioned store, folding up shirts.
Yeah.
And I would say, you know, you think that's hard? Try being in a basement at 110 degrees, you know, sweating out sticky bottles of Coke.
Jeff, thank you very much for your call. I appreciate it. And GB in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hello, GB.
Hello, Brian. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you for being
here. I just wanted to call and quickly say that... As part of, I think I consider myself as part of the sandwich generation, which is a generation of people whose parents are getting up there in their years, but suddenly just had their first child. And the age gap is so large that when my daughter grows up, it's hard to see her being in a position where she'll be able to have these conversations with her grandparents, my parents. So knowing that their story had a lot of ups and downs because my parents are Vietnamese refugees, they fled the war, and you know, they came over in 75 and they had me a year later. I actually, for the last 10 years or so, spent a lot of time researching, interviewing family, and ultimately not only gathered their stories and you know, figuring out what happened, but pieced it all together in a singular serial narrative, a comic book called Viet America, a 300-page fully illustrated comic book. And wow. One of the driving motivations while I was doing this was knowing that someday that I was going to have children, and that as important, if not more important, than getting down to what happened to my family and how I came to be, basically, was to make it into a story for her benefit to understand, as opposed to like a dry, technical, yeah, like family document or something like that.
Were you inspired by Mouse?
I was definitely, I mean, among Mouse, a lot of other comics and graphic novels. I mean, I've been a reader since I was a kid. Like, you know, they've been entertaining me and educating me and enriching my life.
It's a great story, a great way on which to end the segment, transmitting the story of your parents to your kids through your cartoon work, since they won't get much direct contact. And thanks for that, GB, and thanks to all of you for your stories about how your family passes the Do You Know test. You can keep posting them online at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show.